Roses are red, violets are blue. I'm a schizophrenic, and so am I. Somebody once
told me the world. They'll be over here if you need them. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Well, I hope you've been in your car, everybody, listening to this whole show today. Been pretty kick-ass.
Wow. That's for sure.
Started with the girl shooting the bananas.
What is this?
Oh, thank you, Charlie. Yes. Hey, see, that's why he's Inspector Gadget.
Mm-hmm. He's flying around here today.
I'm just ready to do the recap of what's happened. And he comes right in with the name of the winner.
That's right. He is re-energized today after the beginning of the show.
Sure.
Yeah. Charlie Broyhill was the object of the girls...
He was kind of the launching pad for the show.
Thank you. Thank you. She was also... Hi, Charlie.
Hi, I've been asking some of the guys if they want to smell my face.
Oh, my goodness.
Good line.
Yeah, it was a crazy beginning of the show today with the banana girls coming in.
Pretty exciting.
Follow that up with the change at the top at the beach house today.
Yes.
Right. Homo Joe. Making everything so much better at the beach house. Great report from the girls and Dennis today.
Rave reviews.
Then we gave away the $5,000 to Kathy Stacy from Lusby, Maryland.
Kathy Stacy Show.
She was the big $5,000 winner that we just went through the whole thing with Marv Albert last hour. That was great. Charlie Stossel was here. That means now we've worked our way to this. It's game time now on JFK with cash for you and me. Mark! Don and Mike to play. How about you, Jeff Hardy? And you know what a coincidence. We were just talking about that movie.
Right.
Fag Notting Hill.
Oh, that one. Hello.
Hey, Hugh.
Hello. I don't understand if you feel it necessary to call it a fag movie. It's a good movie. You know, it's not a fag movie. It's a good movie. So if you want to call it that, I think we should
perhaps see it first. I will not see it.
I don't wish to get some hissy. You know, hissy with you. But I just think you. You should perhaps evaluate it after you viewed it.
I don't have to view it. I've seen the ads, man.
I really do.
It's a fag movie.
I sincerely believe that you would find the film satisfactory if you put yourself in the theater and then the movie would you could make the movie in a word yours. You see, that's why I would urge you to say that before you basically slam the film the way you were.
I don't understand the hostility you're showing.
It's not hostility.
It's
listen,
it's making me more nervous and jumpy and stammering than I normally am.
Are you as nervous now as you were that night that you were that prostitute getting that BJ?
I was told by your man out there, yes, him, the fellow who play the cartoon music. He said that you would touch on that, so I'm prepared. Much like Marv Albert, he dealt with it head on.
And why is a good-looking guy like you, Hugh Grant, gotta go to the ghetto of L.A. Yeah. and pick up a whore to get a BJ?
I think that that would you would have to put that I think under the heading. Under the heading of covered ground, but if you wish to dally in that once again, I'll answer the questions you have, specific questions, if you wish. I'm here. I've been prepared by your producer, and I will. The reasons are many, not few.
And another thing, frankly, this whole thing with you being scatterbrained.
I am scatterbrained.
No, it doesn't play with me.
No, I was not focused. I'd had a very, very long day, and she was there, and I was there, and it was convenient, and I'm a young man, and I have, how should I put this?
Needs. How much were you going to pay for the BJ?
That's unfortunately, I am unable to speak to that,
but I think it was probably...
Yeah, not in pounds, in dollars.
13, 14 pounds, I think.
How much is that dollars?
She said she would accept pounds. And I offered her pounds. That's what I had. I had pounds in my wallet, and so I said, "Would you accept?"
I thought you had pounds in your pants.
I think that she accepted $20 American dollars. Is what
$20 for a BJ?
We had agreed on $20 American dollars, and it was convenient. And everyone says, if I can repeat the questions that people, so difficult. But people ask me all the time. They say, "Hugh, why the hookup?
Why the whore?
The whore, yes. Whore or hookup,
if you wish to use that.
Why the slut, you? Slut. Tart. Mole. Hooker. Slut.
Bimbo.
Bimbo. Trollop. Pro. And her John." But, so many derogatory terms for that. Is she, Elizabeth, who I live with, the foxy Elizabeth Hurley.
Ooh, nice
she
bush.
Is, thank you.
Nice.
I do think she's got a delightful, delightful bush, and I think that she has a very active career. Very active career.
She has an active what?
Very career. A career.
Oh, I thought you were talking about a body part.
Not a creon.
An active career.
I understand.
Say it like an American, Hugh.
Career.
Career.
I cannot say it like an American because I'm not an American, if we can establish that. But the thing about it, she, if we can get by her boosh, as you like to call it, she is very active in her career, as I am in mine. And what I had was a need that needed to be satisfied. And of course, there was this lady who had an opportunity to satisfy my need, and that's why it happened. It was not the proper place.
Didn't you have, like, Spectrovision in your hotel room?
Of course I did. It was just something that I wanted more, I needed more, and I had needs, and it was a terrible, terrible, terrible error of judgment. I'm very, very sorry.
Does she not do that for you? You know, some girls don't like to do that.
But we don't spend a tremendous amount of time together. That's the thing.
So does she not do that for you?
Do what specifically?
Are you talking
about
pleasure me?
Yeah.
Orally?
Yes.
Yes, of course she does. Yes, of course she does.
How is she?
Now, this is something that I'm not prepared to discuss. I think that's...
How is she? How is Elizabeth Hurley?
All right. I'll travel down your muddy road. I'll say that she's fantastic.
Really?
Superlative. Ooh. She's extraordinary, actually. Tremendously extraordinary.
She's big teeth, doesn't she? Do they get in the way?
Not at all. No, not at all. She's very, very wonderful, and we have a good relationship and a very solid... And now, after some bumps in the road, there's a very solid... I'm very uncomfortable. Is there a,
can I tell you something?
I am beginning to itch.
I am not a violent man.
Yes.
But you are such a pussy, I would just love to smack you.
Is there any particular reason why you're saying this?
This whole boyish charm act, frankly, Hugh, I don't buy into it.
First of all, if I can say, if I'm being too boyish for you, with your talk of bush and everything else that you want to say, I apologize, but this is not an act. This is me. And I'm very uncomfortable and very itchy. I'm itching right now. These seats are very uncomfortable, so I'm squirming around, and I just think that I'm answering your questions as best as I can, and I think that you are being very, very rude, and I'm trying to answer your questions, and that's all I can do.
All right, let's talk about Fag Notting Hill.
Oh, thank you. So we can talk about my film work, which is on the rebound, I should say.
From what?
From where I was with the scandal, and obviously you've had quite a theme of scandals.
What's that awful movie that you were in where your wife was pregnant?
Oh, the wife was pregnant.
What was the name of that movie?
You
remember,
might be familiar with my work in Four Weddings and a Funeral.
No,
smash hit.
Not that one.
Successful.
It was a bad movie you did after that one.
9 months.
That movie was awful.
Now you can say the word awful, but I'll tell you. Now I'm going to get my dander up, and I will not stammer, and I will not, and I will act just like I do when I'm getting a hissy fit in one of my films. That was not awful. It was fine. It was good work. It was funny, and people thought it was funny, and I think you are very rude for saying that the movie was not funny.
In fact,
awful when it was a very successful film.
Look at the girlish way you throw your arms around when you get
this. This is not girlish. You're making me extraordinarily angry, and I don't think it's necessary to come on this program, and listen to these barbs and insults that you're hurling at me across that filthy console that looks like it's never been properly scrubbed. I really think that 9 months was a fantastically funny movie with a wonderful ensemble cast that offered very, very, very good performances for everyone to enjoy.
Wasn't Tom Arnold in that movie?
Tom Arnold was marvelous. He was another man that's been rocked by scandal, and I thought he held his chin up high, and he provided us with a fantastic performance that everyone could enjoy. And we didn't have to talk about bushes, and we didn't have to talk about women with bananas shooting them in the studio. We relied on direction, and we relied on direction and quality filmmaking to provide our audiences with the marvelous...
Okay. Oh, now he's crying.
Look
what you've done. I'm sorry, Hugh.
You've upset me greatly. I'm sorry. I know your producer said he wants to talk about the scandal. I said I'll talk about the scandal.
I'm sorry.
Why are you just sitting here talking? Why are you talking?
There's Robbie with a Kleenex for you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, pull yourself together.
I'm sorry. I just, sometimes the pressures, you know, when you're doing the film tours. When you're doing the film tour for
Notting
Hill...
I cannot believe that Elizabeth Hurley is with a pansy like you.
Well, she does...
I can't believe it.
She knows this pansy, as you like to call it, is a very, very strong-willed man who wants to provide her with the type of man that she wants forever.
You're a fancy lad. That's what
I'm
you are.
I'm a fancy lad. I'm just hurt. I'm sensitive. And, you know, you have to... When you do my roles, when you're doing those roles, you have to be sensitive. And you upset me greatly. And I'm sorry I got emotional, but there's only so much a person can take. You have to understand.
All right, well, I'm sorry. Let me ask you a question.
You're calling me a fag, you're calling me a wussy, and you tell me all these things, and I tell you...
Let me ask you a question about your movie, about Fag Notting Hill.
Now, is it necessary?
You're going to cry again.
Is it necessary for you to always say it like that? It's Notting Hill. It's Notting Hill.
Fag Notting Hill.
All right, fine. If you want to be that, play your little schoolboy games and insult me. But I'll sit here, you know why? Because I'm a bigger man than you. And I will take your bobs.
Are you
Fag
wearing...
Notting Hill. Yes, go ahead. Fag Notting Hill. Fag Notting Hill.
Are you wearing knee socks?
I'm wearing... No. No. Yes, knee socks. Yes, I'm wearing knee socks and shorts. And I'm wearing suspenders. Races holding up my shorts. And I'm wearing a ruffled, frilly little shirt with a straw hat so my mummy can walk me in the park with my little pug dog. Yes, I'm wearing a total wussified outfit just for you.
Now I'm liking you a little bit.
Well, I'm upset. You've upset me greatly.
Now I'm liking you.
I suppose you'd like me to do something like Rambo and build up my pectoral muscles and look in the camera and shout and go, rah, and be some sort of beastie, but I'm not going to do that. I make sensitive films for sensitive people, and if you like to laugh, it's a superlative romantic comedy, and I will not sit here and tolerate your constant bobs. You've upset me. I am extraordinarily upset, and
well,
I
listen,
will not take it anymore.
You little freak, I apologized already.
Well, there we are, then.
All right, let's talk about Julia Roberts.
She's wonderful.
That hair under her arms.
Oh, no.
She looks like a barbarian with the hair under the arms.
Well, here we go. I tell you, right off today's tabloid headlines, we're going to talk about the hair under her arms. We're going to talk about me and oral sex. And that's what we're going to... Yes, of course she does. When she's not doing the film, she has a tuft of hair under each armpit. And it's what she chooses to wear. It's nothing that significant.
What about
Why must you talk about that?
How come... you're crying again?
I'm crying.
How come you're crying again?
I am crying. I am crying because this is extraordinarily difficult. And I told my publicist that this would be. I heard your interview before. I heard the way you speak to people. It's positively ghastly. It is positively ghastly the way you treat other human beings.
You are the biggest pussy we have ever had on this show. You are.
We are members of the same
pussy
group.
Personified.
We are human beings. And you sit here with your pedestal and your show and talk to people. It's not fair. It's not fair, and I want to go home. I want to go back to London.
You can't go home.
I know, I have to play the silly game with your silly listeners and your silly weekend.
That's right.
Silly one-day vacation weekend.
The low-budget quiz show. Oh, wait, you don't...
I hate America.
I don't like our American holidays.
Would you like the real Hugh?
Hey. Yes,
would you like that? Would that make you happy?
Yes, yes.
I hate Americans. I hate America. I hate Americans. I think you all smell offensive, and I think you all suck. There, I said it then!
Your teeth are awful.
No, I do not. My teeth are perfect.
British people, you got no fluoride in your water.
I would like to show you my publicity fixed photo. Right here. There it is. You see, that's a stereotype that you Americans have perpetuated. Hugh's teeth, you see right now, they're very good. Very good. Very, very straight. Very clean. No damage, like Austin Powers. That's what you base that on, too. Was he in the tabloids, too? With Julia Roberts' hair under her armpits?
Why are you crying now?
I'm just a little sensitive, and I think that when you've gone through so much, as I have...
Frankly, I think you should apologize to all Americans listening to this show now, before you go on.
Well, why would I do that?
You just said you hate Americans. You hate America.
I didn't mean it. I was simply upset. You understand that?
Apologize.
I will not.
Apologize.
I will not apologize.
You freak, apologize.
All right, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to get physically violent with me.
We were.
I'm very sorry for everything I've said, because Dawn made me. I'm very, very sorry, but I do hope you see Notting Hill. It's a very, very, very good movie, and I'll compose myself. I know I've been very upset.
Fag Notting Hill.
It's a very...
Come on!
I'm sorry, but you just don't stop, man. You just keep pounding at me and pounding at me, and it just gets so incredibly frustrating. I just don't know what to do. I want to stop my feet.
Has anybody ever told you when you get mad?
Yes.
Look at how skinny his arms are, man.
Oh. Look at my skinny little arm. Of course. Yes, it's a toothpick. So I won't be lifting any weights. I don't need to lift weights. I need to provide good performances for everyone that wants to see my movies. I don't need to have strong arms. They're bird-like arms. Yes, Elizabeth's arms, Elizabeth Hurley's arms, are stronger than mine arms.
Ah, now we're getting somewhere.
Mine are white, milky white, and thin, like a stick, like a walking stick insect. Right, that's what my arms are like. You've upset me greatly.
Okay, well, compose yourself here. There's a ladies' room right down the hall. You can take care of yourself there.
I'll be fine.
And we'll take the first two calls right now to play the low-budget Jeff Hardy game.
Might I mention one simple thing?
Yes.
That Notting Hill.
Fag Notting Hill.
is opening this weekend, and I'd like everyone to go and see it. But I suppose you wouldn't go see it. You want to see something with explosions and
Star Wars,
and throats being slit, and all that awful stuff.
I'll tell
you
right
now, this has been extremely brutal. But I will stay, and you know, we could have further discussions if you
Phone number is 1-800-636-1067. We'll take the first two calls right now to play this low budget Jeopardy. Okay, come on, pull yourself together.
I've pulled myself together, and I will do the best I can because I am an actor.
You are a pussy.
Thank you.
And we'll be back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Allow myself to introduce myself. My name is Richie Cunningham, and this is my wife, Oprah.
My name is Number Two. This is my Italian confidential secretary. Her name is Alotta. Alotta Fachin.
Big fun right there, yeah.
Be sure to thank them for their service to our country.
You're welcome.
Don and Mike. I know this girl
Big shock.
Yes.
We don't have any Hugh Grant tapes here in the studio to play any clips from your movies.
Of course you don't. It's fine. I'm so glad you play that other
but if we did,
stereotype of Britain. Yeah.
If we did that, we'd have them filed under F.
Yes. Yes. Well, what? F-U? Is that
no.
F-U? Is that the joke you're going to make?
Fag.
Thank you so much. That's good.
In your country,
yes.
Doesn't fag mean cigarette?
It means cigarette. Yes, it does. Cigarettes. Would you like to have a fag? Would you like my fag? I really could go for a pack of fags. If I could. Could I bum a fag? That's exactly what it means. Of course it does.
You ever chain smoke fags?
I've chain smoked fags, as most actors do. You know, we're very nicotine conscious people. We have that. But I think that I've recovered briefly from your.
You pulled yourself together.
Your brutality. I've been able to compose myself, and I think that we can probably get through the next segment without any tears, and I think I can handle that, and I'm prepared. So, but please, if you could, try somewhere deep down inside of you, try to be less brutal with me. You could.
Maybe you could try to be more manly. Maybe we could meet in the middle.
Yes. All right, we could do that experiment. We could do that. You be less brutal, I'll be more manly. I'll be more manly for you.
Try not to cry. Let's do an experiment. You're a pussy. Now you're crying.
That is the worst, most cold-hearted thing you've said. Why are you being so nasty, 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 nasty? I tell you, I won't have it. I simply won't have it.
Come on, play the game now.
I'll read your cards and play your silly game. I'll read your tabloids, talk about hair and bush. And then we'll all eat smelly bananas. All right. This is Low Budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is a student... And it says Blue Cross, a student with Blue Cross. Is that someone who's covered by Blue Cross? But I'm not quite sure. But
I don't know.
This individual's from Portland, Maine. And let's say hi to Andrew Doody.
Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Mike and Hugh.
I'm Don and Hugh.
Don and Hugh, excuse me.
Your last name is Doody?
Doody.
Like poop?
I think that would be a good one for you.
Oh, I suppose if someone had sex with you, they would have done duty. That's very good. Now entering the studio is...
Howdy, duty.
Howdy, duty. Apple pan duty. Oh, no, that's something else. And now entering the studio is our second challenger, a tech field services worker from Folsom, California. Let's say hi to Nathan Trook.
Hello, Nathan.
Hello, Don. Hello, Hugh.
Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy.
And now entering the studio is the host of Low Budget Jeopardy. Now, Andrew Doody and Nathan Trook. Please do not screw with LQ and say hi to Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, fancy lad, Hugh Grant.
Oh, so great to be a fancy lad with my knee socks.
And it's Nathan, and what's the other guy's name there, pretty boy?
Andrew Doody.
Right, Nathan and Andrew. Guys, don't forget, answer in the form of a question. I live with my mom wearing clip-on ties. Suit by Mr. Guy. Call me Alex as we're playing the game, and it's LQ Lord Quizmaster, and always call him...
Hugh.
Fancy lad, Hugh.
Fancy lad, yes. Call me a fancy lad. Yes.
Hugh lad.
Looking forward to playing
very
the game.
Very privileged life he's led thus far.
I've been very privileged. I'm very happy with all my silverware.
And guys, here are your categories, and they are These TV shows just aired their final episodes.
Oh, television. How very, very boring television is.
How very American television is.
Yes, rah-rah, red, white, and blue. Foolish blues, lad.
NBA playoffs. Who's in and who's out?
Oh, your silly bounce the ball sport, yes.
Beats the hell out of your... What you call football.
Oh, football. Yes, we have that over there, but cricket's my sport. Now, there's a sport over there. You wear white pants and white shirts, and you don't get them smudgy.
That's a surprise that you play cricket, old man.
Oh, I do, old man. Cricket is just jolly. Jolly Roger.
Coffee shop spelling bee. All day, you make me laugh too much.
I'm terribly sorry.
These TV shows aired their final episodes. NBA playoffs, who's in and who's out. Coffee shop spelling bee.
Coffee, yes, you drink a lot of coffee over here.
Yeah, and you guys don't?
No, we drink tea.
New on home video. And states and capitals.
States and capitals, because you haven't memorized them in this country, because your educational system is just a ruddy mess.
Yeah, and you're so smart. What do you call your police officers over there?
Bobbies.
And that's not queer?
And they don't carry guns. That's right, so you can steal a loaf of bread and run away, and they can't shoot you.
Listen, Andrew, Andy, we'll start with you, buddy.
All right. Let's take NBA playoffs. For one.
Very easy one. I'm sure Hugh doesn't even know what teams we're talking about.
I have no idea. I'm much more occupied with reading and books and my chocolates.
NBA playoffs, who's in and who's out? The New York Knickerbockers.
What is in?
What's so funny, Hugh?
Oh, just the Knickerbockers. That's your name, yes. Punch it out. Knickerbockers. $1 for you. Congratulations, you've won £1.
The Utah Jazz.
What is in?
No.
I'm sorry, Andrew. Nathan, it's your chance to steal.
What is out?
Out.
No.
That's right.
£2 in your purse.
They've been outed just like you, Hugh Grant.
Nathan, you're in control.
Fancy line, I'll take NBA for three.
San Antonio Spurs.
No, foolish boy. You took far too much time. Andrew.
What is out?
No.
Nope, they're still in the playoffs.
All right, and that means I believe that, Nathan, you're in control still. Select again, please.
Let's go NBA for four, Alex.
Oh, you big doofus. There's only three in each category. That means the other guy's in charge now.
All right, Andrew, you must select another category, unlike your competitor, Nathan.
All right, I'll take coffee house spelling for one, fancy lad, you.
Okay, coffee shop spelling bee for one.
And the whole world call me fancy lad now.
The correct spelling of the word mocha.
M-O-C-C-A.
That was not even in the form of a question.
This was a foolish blunder on your part, Andrew. Nathan, it's your chance to, you with £2, it's your chance to steal.
What is M-O-C-H-A?
That's right.
$1 for you, Nathan. You're in control. You have a commanding lead. Now select again, please.
Let's stay with coffee shop spellings for two, fancy lad.
Caffeine.
What is C-A-F-F-I-N-E?
No.
I'm sorry. Andrew, your chance to steal.
What is C-A-F-F-I-E-N-E?
No. C-A-F-F-E-I-N-E.
And Nathan, I believe you're in control. Yes, you are. Yes, sir.
Let's finish our coffee shop spelling for three, fancy lad Hugh.
Good luck with this one, boys. Frappuccino.
What is F-R-A-P-P-I-C-I-N-E? I-C-H-N-O.
Oh, Frappuccino.
Stepped in a bit of quicksand there, didn't you, Nathan? Andrew, your chance to steal.
F-R-A, what is...
Boys, it's F-R-A-P-P-U-C-C-I-N-O. And I wouldn't have known that if I wasn't having one this morning when I wrote this, and it was on the little jar.
That's very clever. Very clever. It's one of your American words that you create. Because it's frapped up, is that right?
Yeah. Everything was created in America.
Everything.
Everything starts here.
Nathan, you're in control.
Let's go with TV show final episodes for $1, please.
All right, all of these TV shows have their final episodes this week.
Rah-rah, TV.
Stars Tim Dick.
What is...
I'm sorry, too much time, Nathan. You might be a little quicker in the future. Andrew, your chance to steal. Yes.
What is Home Improvement?
That's right. You see, that's Tim Allen's real name, yes, Tim Dick.
Tim Dick. Yes, I've met him. I think the name, the surname applies. Andrew, you're in control.
Let's stay with that for two.
It's my catty little womanly slam.
Meow. It does. You're very womanly, Hugh.
Yes, of course. Yes, Tim Dick. Yes, he was.
This show that just ended stars one hot woman and one damn annoying man.
What is Mad About You?
Right.
$2 for you, Andrew, and you've taken the lead now, so that's good news for you. You have a total of £4. And select again, please.
For three.
I hope nobody peed in the pool, because water from this show's pool is selling for $300 a jar on eBay.
I'm sorry, Andrew. Nathan, your chance, please.
What is Steve Krogodal?
No.
What was his answer?
What was your answer? That was very confusing.
I didn't know.
What did you say? What were the words you said?
I said Steve.
Steve what?
This guy's an idiot. No, it's Melrose Place, you dummies. Melrose Place.
Well, I don't watch that show like a fancy lad does.
Was that excuse me, as you're calling me fancy lad, was that a cheap attempt for you to mention one of your friends?
No.
Something that is strictly prohibited on the game?
Don't get your ruffled, puffy shirt all
I'm
up
sorry,
in a lather
I
now.
Read the rules. They explained them to me, and I believe that he was screwing with LQ.
I'll take my scolding from Alex.
All right.
You.
Andrew, you're in control.
New Home Video, for one.
New on Home Video. Here you go. Well, none of your movies are here, Hugh, since you make so few.
I do, because they're quality. Few for Hugh. Because if I'd made lesser than few, it would be P-U.
Stars Tom Hanks.
What is... Saving Private Ryan.
That's right.
$1 for you, Andrew. You're in control. Select again, please. And because of Nathan's nasty attitude, I hope you do well.
Video for two.
Disney ripoff of the movie Ants.
What is A Bug's Life?
$2. Also correct.
Taking a commanding lead, Andrew. Andrew Doody. Go again, please.
And for three.
Stars Sharon Stone.
What is Gloria?
Hey, you've been pretty good on that category. That's right. For $3 for three there.
Yes, he ran the category. Ran the table, as it were. Andrew, you're in control.
What do we have left here?
States and capitals.
Oh, states and capitals. Let's go for it.
Come on, be proud now. Be Americans. Remember, we've got one of them with us. Mm-hmm. One of the redcoats with us.
States and capitals. Yes, pay attention to your geography.
It is the capital of the great state of Hawaii.
What is Honolulu?
That's right.
$1 for you, Andrew. You're still in control and you have a commanding lead. Commanding.
States for two.
It is the capital of the great state of Florida.
What is Tallahassee?
Oh, look at us. We got a rocket scientist here.
Very good student.
You hear this?
Yes, that's terrific.
This guy could be a school teacher in England.
A school mom, yes. Fantastic, with a big ruffled shirt and a high collar. All right, $2 for you, Andrew. Yes, I heard that. All right, yes, $2 for you. Select again, please.
Let's finish it out, fancy lad.
It is the capital of the great state of South Carolina.
South Carolina. What is Columbia?
Oh, you were a little slow by repeating the state. Unfortunately, we're going to have to go to Nathan. Nathan, your chance to steal.
What is Yoni?
No, that guy had the right answer, too. No, Columbia.
Columbia. And is that the last category?
That's it, fancy lad.
That is the end of the first round of the game. It's time for us to go to the second round, and both of these boys will be playing, both Andrew Doody and Nathan Truk.
I find it hard to believe that Julia Roberts could kiss you and pretend like she was actually attracted to you.
Not only, I must tell you, not only did she kiss me, but she opened her mouth and slipped me her tongue.
Oh, please.
She did, yes, the fancy lad tongue kissed Julia.
Please.
Go see the movie Notting Hill and tell me if it's not true. Tongue, tongue, tongue. Intertwined, rubbing up against each other, mingling of saliva juices. There you are. So, the fancy lad's got it on all of you, doesn't he? There we are.
Boys, hold on a second there, Nathan and Andrew.
Touché!
Yes, game, set, match, the pussy.
Yes, cricket, me.
And we'll be back with more.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
These guys here is pretty cool. This is a cool station. These guys is cool, you know. They blue-eyed soul brothers. They all right, you know. They pale, but they can wail.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, toll-free, at 1-800-636-1067. They're ready to believe you.
Hey, pal, it's Dave Letterman. I've got an important bulletin for you. I'm quitting my TV show. Yeah. I'm going to be the new lead singer for Van Halen.
Yeah. Almost as exciting as Mr. T.
Perhaps you remember them as Air Supply.
Hi.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Bring on the icons.
You know, you're the reason that Jay Leno is beating David Letterman now, since you went on the show to talk about your BJ.
That's a Don, are they rather significant high rating? I was on the Leno show, as you call that. I listened to your program and you call him Leno. That amuses me. It's very funny. Very funny, the fancy lad.
He's such a pussy, Hugh.
I just see my movie, Notting Hill, please.
Fag Notting Hill.
Yes, I'm not going to cry. I'm over that. I'm beyond that.
And I'm going to make you cry before this segment is over.
No, you will not.
Yes,
you
I am.
You will not make me cry.
Yes, I am.
It won't happen.
Yes, I am.
I don't believe it will happen.
Fag Notting Hill.
It won't happen.
Fag Notting Hill. Fag Notting Hill. Fag Notting Hill.
You're a real a-hole.
Fag Notting Hill. Stop it.
You're crying.
Nathan and Andrew, are you there, boys?
Yes, we are.
Pull yourself together, Hugh. Oh, my God.
Come on.
Pull yourself together, Hugh.
Oh, you made me cry. I'm so upset. Please give me another tissue.
Robbie, would you get Hugh a tissue,
don't
please?
I have any more.
I want one now. Use that puffy sleeve on your shirt.
That's okay.
Use your Three Musketeers shirt.
There we are. All better now. Okay. Mummy's not going to like the stain, though.
Nathan and Andrew, here is your final low-budget Jeopardy category, and it is... What's that celebrity bra size?
Oh, yes, wonderful. Yes, boobies.
Good category.
And here you go. You're going to have boobies.
Don't forget, fellas, in the form of a question, please. The celebrity bra size, famous homo, Ellen DeGeneres.
Oh.
Ellen DeGenitals.
Ooh, yes, very interesting.
Need her bra size in the form of a question. Andrew and Nathan, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive Hugh Grant hand lotion made from a wonderful secret formula. My Hugh Grant hand lotion enriches your hands while it moisturizes, cools, soothes, relieves, and stimulates at the same time. I know you'll be satisfied with my Hugh Grant hand lotion. I know I am every time I rub it on.
Oh,
now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex Trebek Geronimo.
Thank you, Hugh. Okay there, fancy lad. Who do we talk to first?
Well, we go to the one with fewer pounds, and that would be Nathan. Nathan Truke. Nathan Truke is the
what
little man.
34C?
Hold on, Nathan. Let me give you the setup
down
there, Nathan.
Mr. Folsom,
please.
California.
Please.
Mr. Tech Field Services Worker.
Nathan, it is the celebrity bra size of famous homo Ellen DeGenitals.
What is 34C?
Couldn't wait to get that out of your mouth.
Absolutely
no.
Wrong.
No, you're wrong, and you have $0.
Nathan, pounds. You're out. Andrew, if you have the correct answer, you're the big wiener.
What is 34B?
That is absolutely right.
And that means that Andrew Doody, you are the Low Budget Jeopardy champion. Raise your hands high and do a victory dance. Like I do every time something goes well for me. I dance. I dance and dance and dance until I can't dance any longer.
How did you do a victory dance when that fag movie Notting Hill just released?
I was so happy for you, and I'm not anymore, because you're going to make me cry too.
Andrew, you're the big wiener. Nathan, don't go away mad. Please just go away now. Here is Hugh Grant to tell you about your gifts. Hugh!
Well, first of all, Mr. Doody, you double your score to $26. We throw in a $25 bonus for a total of £51 for you, Andrew
Doody.
Dollars. And Mr. Nathan Truke, we have some parting gifts for you. Here we are. Let me read the cards they've given me. You have won a Goodyear prize pack. Those are tires, correct?
Yes.
Tires. Rubber tires. Goodyear Rolling Thunder is coming. Enter to win a trip to the Daytona 500. Oh, Russia.
You're not a good reader.
Yeah, if you want to change your image, you got to get your face out there. Oh, on the radio.
That's it, the radio. I'll go on the most popular program of the day. I assume that's still Don McNeil and his Breakfast Club.
Handing out kudos and brickbats. Don and Mike.
Tomorrow we'll be live from our Hagerstown, Maryland radio station. I hear it's a real hit pit.
Yeah.
WARK. And then we got a Vegas-style show tomorrow night at Barracudas. And that's in the Ramada Inn on Dual Highway. We will see you there tomorrow night.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah. Also on tomorrow's episode, all the regular Friday fun. Chuck Stossel, the Love Muscle.
Yeah.
Rupert Martsky will be on. We'll have a new low-budget Jeopardy. And Let me ask you, Mike.
Yes?
Who is the handsomest anchor at ESPN?
The handsomest anchor at ESPN would be Dan Patrick.
No.
Charlie Steiner.
Yes.
You know, you got to go with either the real one or the total opposite, and I knew I'd get it on the second guess.
And we'll have Charlie Steiner on tomorrow's show also.
Right.
Now here's
right.
Buzz.
Pool boy.
Hello, Buzz.
Hi, Don. Hi, Mike. The parents of JonBenet Ramsey are talking with the prosecutors in Boulder, Colorado, behind closed doors to try to close this murder case once and for all. This according to the Star tabloid, which also says the prime suspect is now the girl's brother, Burke, who was 9 years old at the time of the killing.
Huh?
Other media outlets, by the way, are starting to pick up on this, and the authorities are starting to comment on it, so it appears to be a true story. The story is apparently that a boy who was 9 years old, JonBenet's brother at the time, actually committed the murder, according to this latest
parents
account.
Parents may be trying to cover it up?
Some people have suggested that maybe the parents are trying to make the kid the fall guy, but I think...
Yeah, wasn't there also some all kinds of alleged other bad stuff that was done to JonBenet besides the fact that she was strangled?
There have been a lot of different stories. Here's the latest.
I mean, stuff that I don't know if I think a 9-year-old mm-hmm. is necessarily capable of.
Well, the paper says the Ramseys are trying to cut a deal to avoid a long and expensive trial, but the Star says the DA does want to punish Patsy Ramsey for her part in faking the ransom note and trying to cover up the murder, and wants the boy, who's now 12 years old, to be forced into counseling. The paper says Burke resented his sister's celebrity status. It says what set him off was his 6-year-old sister climbing into bed with him after she had wet her own bed again. It was his knife that was found next to the body, and the Star says he had hit her in the face with a golf club on a previous occasion. So that's where the case stands right now.
I bet Geraldo's happy.
Oh, man.
He's got something to talk about on his show now.
God, that's amazing. That creeps me out.
It's taken them 3 years to find that out, though?
There is no satisfactory ending to the story. I mean, there can't be.
Yes, it has taken that long.
This story has been so overreported and so overcovered. But when you hear a story like this, you mm-hmm. just forget about all the other crap.
Right.
And you just think, you know, a 9-year-old and a 6-year-old, a 9-year-old murdering a 6-year-old. And, is this going to change, or is this the real deal? Does it sound to you like this is going to be the final, indictment here, or
this
what?
This sounds to me like the final story, but as Don said, there have been 100 different stories, so, you know, who knows? We'll just have to wait and see. It's one all of us want to have resolved once and for all.
God.
Well, President Clinton today urged the Senate to reconsider its decision not to require background checks on people who buy guns at gun shows. You have to get a background check to buy in a shop, but at a gun show, no problem. Quoting the president, "For the life of me, I can't figure out why they passed up this chance to save lives." Well, the president knows the answer to that. The National Rifle Association, through its considerable Capitol Hill financial influence,
Soylent Green
before the
is
vote.
People! This is Charlton Heston, and I am old.
Attorney
you ape! You damned ape! Soylent Green!
That's still the best Charlton Heston movie we ever saw.
You damned ape! Ape!
Attorney General Janet Reno also tore into the lawmakers over this issue today, and apparently so did a lot of voters, because the Republican congressmen now say they will reconsider this issue based on all the phone calls they've gotten today about this.
What'd you call?
I called that guy's office. I forget his name. Craig. I think it's Senator Craig, mm-hmm. who was the most eloquent spokesman.
Senator Craig Klein.
Craig Klein. Yeah, I called. I didn't like the guy. I mean, the guy sits on the board of the NRA, and he's the United States Senator. There's something wrong with that.
You damned ape! That's
exactly what I said to her. I said,
damned ape, part the sea!
Oh, this is juicy. A Democratic congressman. A Democratic congressman lost one of his biggest financial backers after the backer came home unexpectedly one day and found the congressman in bed with his wife. This, according to Capital Style magazine and a book called Washington Babylon.
He was a whore.
The congressman, New Jersey's Bob Torricelli, has not bothered to deny the gist of this so far, only the details.
He was a whore.
Torricelli has a reputation as a womanizer, having dated Bianca Jagger, a White House aide, a model.
He was a whore.
And now the ex-wife of the guy who owns Revlon. The financial backer, by the way, a New Jersey toy-making executive.
He was a whore.
Quickly threw his financial support behind Torricelli's opponent once he learned about the lawmaker's affair with his wife.
He was a whore.
That's not going to work this time, Mr. Congressman.
He was a whore.
Please, Mr. Congressman, there's just no way. That excuse will not cut the mustard this time.
Damned ape whore! Part the sea!
Jack Kevorkian may be behind bars, but he has friends on the outside, apparently. Yesterday, one of those friends may have picked up where Dr. Death left pissed off.
She was a whore.
Kevorkian associate Dr. Georges Redding is the target of a police investigation into
No, no, it's Dr. Jeffrey Hedges.
No, it's Georges Redding.
Oh, okay.
In the death of a 54-year-old New Mexico woman who had MS, the cause of death appears to be an overdose of pentobarbital, a deadly chemical. Assisted suicide's illegal in New Mexico, but the maximum punishment is 18 months in prison. After being arrested for minor...
Hello, I am your replacement, Jeffrey Hedges. Happy to help out, Dr. Death. You can count on support from me, Count Hedges.
His friends on the outside. After being arrested for minor offenses, some people in New York say they were strip searched. 63,000 people say this.
Ooh.
Now the city's trying to settle out of court this class action lawsuit, and it could cost the Big Apple...
Nothing in there.
Over a B as in boy $1 billion.
Oh, man. 63,000 people were strip searched?
For minor offenses.
I'm making.
Minor offenses.
You do that, you're definitely going to hit chocolate once in a while.
Last week, a judge ordered the city to pay over $5 million to just one such victim. The city says the searches were done by jail guards who were used to doing that to inmates and didn't realize it was illegal to do the same thing to people who had not been charged with anything yet.
Milk, lemonade. Around the corner fudge is made.
That's a body cavity search. A strip search, you know, you're not necessarily going to get that.
Sure, but if you're thorough, it is.
Yeah, if you're thorough.
Time out, please. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Paula, I have to talk to you.
I'm very busy.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
I am sorry. Just listen to me. This is important. I asked Phil to write some patter for the debut of Hank's Hot Potato, but I hardly think he has captured the spirit of fun with this kind of dialogue. I'm sure everyone here loves the old game Hot Potato, but I'll bet you're going to like it even more when I tell you that I just pulled this potato right out of my big fat ass. Here, catch. Then the audience in unison shouts, "Hey now, Hank, go f*** yourself." I mean, the audience isn't even supposed to have lines.
They mightn't remember the verses. Don and Mike.
Listen, I think we just mentioned this, but I'll say it again. Vegas-style show tomorrow night, Hagerstown, Maryland, at Barracuda's.
Yes, we're going to be there, and we want to meet you.
That's in the Ramada Inn. Also got to say thank you to everybody listening to us in Wichita, Talk Radio KFH, also in Greenville, 98.1 The Peak. Got our Arbitron ratings in today from both of those cities.
And they're marvelous.
Double-digit club.
Beautiful.
Both stations reporting ratings for this show of over a 10 share.
Way to go.
So for that, we say thank you. Mm-hmm. And now back to booze.
You know, they were having a hard time hammering out a state budget in Minnesota until the governor stepped in with his gassy dog.
You bring my dog in, the dog that, you know, does all the farting.
Jesse Ventura said on Tuesday that if he had to, he'd lock up the lawmakers with his family's flatulent bulldog, Franklin.
Right, Rorge.
Quoting Ventura, if you feed him some hamburger, I'd say we'd have a deal in 45 minutes. Before the day was over, they had a deal. Ventura says he was a little worried he might have violated some international law by using this kind of chemical warfare.
But it's not the dog, it's the governor.
Either way, when it was all over, the governor gave the credit to the dog, saying, and I quote, Franklin did his job well.
Franklin, fart on the senators. Fart on the state senators from Minnesota. Come on, Franklin. Have a burger and fart.
Franklin Ventura.
Franklin the brain.
The lines that surrounded movie theaters yesterday were practically non-existent today. People found,
I like the mysticism.
Many do. People found other ways to get their Star Wars tickets, according...
I like the mysticism.
According to Joe Brock of the AMC theater chain...
Our telephone ticketing is getting more of a workout today than it was yesterday, where yesterday was in person at the theaters.
I like the mysticism.
Other folks turned to the internet. eBay had 117 listings for advanced tickets today, and some of the bids were for nearly twice the face value.
Please, did nobody listen to my review yesterday?
Apparently. Really? Not. Except the Washington Post, of course.
Yeah, it was verbatim. Mm-hmm. Just about everything that I said yesterday was verbatim. Of course, with much bigger words in the Washington Post today.
Yeah, but they have a book for that.
The Star Wars book, by the way, is number one on the USA Today bestseller list, and the soundtrack will debut at number three on Billboard next week.
And remember, that's the book that gives away the plot.
Right.
You know, when the last 3 weeks, all they've been screaming about is, please don't say anything about the plot.
Right. Like Jar Jar and Darth Maul.
I like the mysticism.
Here's another reason.
I wish Jar Jar was dead.
A lot of folks will, I think. Jar Jar gay?
Oh, absolutely. Jar Jar likes it in the butt.
Here's another reason to be careful about looking for love on the internet. The girl you think you might be talking to might be a guy, and worse yet, it might be a killer.
Are you listening, Dennis? Mm-hmm.
The Boston Herald says inmates in Massachusetts prisons are putting personal ads on the web without revealing their criminal past.
Starica.
Friends on the outside post these ads for them. In one ad, a prisoner says he's looking for a lifelong relationship. He doesn't mention he killed his last girlfriend. Another says he's a nice guy with regrets. He doesn't mention he killed a woman by stabbing her 39 times.
Yee.
There's talk, of course, now about putting some kind of disclaimer on those personal ads saying this guy's a killer in prison. Could John Kennedy be the next manager for Mike Tyson? Yes, according to an article in Esquire magazine.
That's not right.
Mike.
Yes, John. I just don't think it's going to work.
Why don't you like taking a shower?
I don't like things to see. You know, you go walk in the shower. I don't shower much. You see guys rectum. The guy's genital.
Well, Mike's on the cover of Esquire with a close-up, actually, of him kissing his baby son. Once again, someone's trying to reinvent Mike Tyson's public image. This time, according to the article, it's his wife, Monica, and, of course, John Kennedy Jr.
Well, it's not that Monica Lewinsky.
No, this is Monica Turner.
She blew me.
Thank you, John.
John Kennedy has visited Tyson in jail repeatedly. It was Monica Turner, Tyson's wife, who supposedly masterminded Tyson's break away from Don King.
Yeah, he's an a-hole.
Tyson has also impressed the warden.
Isn't he, John?
All right. Huge a-hole, Mike.
Thank you, John.
We hear Tyson's also impressed the warden, where he's doing time for a road rage assault. Word is the warden is looking to release Tyson early and very soon.
Wouldn't your father some kind of, like, president or something?
All right. And he got so much ussy pay. Arrah.
Ah, that's great. All right. Way to go. Fantastic. That's good.
I wish you could have smelled his fingers. Arrah.
You're all right, John.
Thank you, Mike. Arrah.
Kathy C. Gifford's trophies, as Frank likes to call them, are as much of a special effect as the puppets in that new Space Monkey movie everybody's talking about.
Listen, did you see The View yet? Is this what this is about?
Go for it.
Did you see The View?
No, I did not. I don't watch The View on a regular basis.
All right. I saw it yesterday. Mm-hmm.
Good. They were talking about breasts?
No. Kathy Lee comes out, and, you know, I got a thing for her. I think she's annoying, but on the other hand, I've often said...
Yes,
you're
physically attracted to her.
I do her. So she comes out, and she has a low-cut top on.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And her boobs look real good.
Mm-hmm.
She sits down with Barbara Walters, and Barbara Walters cannot stop staring at her cleavage. And she says, what is the deal there? What are you doing there? And then Kathy Lee says, well, I was going to wear this shirt to come on the show tonight, but this shirt cost $500. For some reason, she wasn't wearing this T-shirt that left...
Playing poor mouth.
Left in her makeup room. She said, so I had to just throw this on, and it was like a low-cut, lacy thing. You could see her boobs. Uh-huh. And then Barbara Walters said, well, you're showing a lot of cleavage. And then Kathy Lee reaches in, and you know those false, rubbery boobs that we've had?
Yeah.
That we've given away on the show?
Right.
She reached into her bra, and in each one of her bra boob holders, in the cups... She had those plastic fake boobs.
Oh!
She pulled them out, and then as soon as she pulled them out, you should have seen her breasts fall.
There you go. Which, then it's that tank top factor.
They fell faster than Infinity stock.
Did you begin to cry uncontrollably at that moment?
I've never thought. I mean, I think they're big.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I've always admitted that at least, you know, they're held up. That
yes.
There's got to be some kind of, you
but
know,
even you were shocked at seeing
master
the
bra,
falsies.
Yeah, I don't think that Kathy Lee needs to wear falsies.
What did they look like after she took them out? Did it look like the lady from the Playboy, the granny from Playboy magazine?
No, they didn't.
She still had a bra on, but I think without the bra, I go with your theory.
Right. As a matter of fact, hold on. Let me get Kathy Lee boob expert on the phone.
Very good.
My wife, the prude.
Uh-huh.
My wife, who was just yelling at me just not too long ago when we were looking at those naked pictures.
That's good. Yes.
You know, the other day we were watching Kathy Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me, Kathy C.
Mm-hmm.
And Frida started talking to me about her boobs. She got a little meow, meow, meow going.
Well, I think Kathy Lee definitely has a lot of assistance in that department.
Oh, come on. You were there just 20 minutes ago and told me stop looking at those naked pictures.
Have you spoken with her in the interim?
Mm-mm. Oh, no, I have, of course.
Of course, yeah.
Of course. It was my first call. Hi, honey. You know, and she plays it cool with me. Doesn't say anything. I go, what's for dinner? Pork chops. I say, good. See ya. Love you. Love you too, Click. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know where she is. She must have gone out to do something. Hire her a lawyer.
So we were watching the show the other day, and here's the point. We're sitting down on the couch. We're watching the Kathy C. Gifford show, and she says, well, what do you think? This my wife says to me, what do you think of them today?
Mm-hmm.
And I think she's talking about Regis and Kathy. And she goes, I go, well, they're all right. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just doing their talk. She goes, no. Her boobs. Look at her boobs. You stare at her boobs all the time. What do you think of them today? Look at them. They're just hanging down.
Just hanging down.
And then we took a few moments.
And you did look at them.
And we both, my wife and I, just stared at Kathy Lee Gifford's boobs, and we decided, yes, they're big.
But gravity has taken its toll.
But they're droopy.
Yes.
Well, droopy. I don't know why she would need to put those falsies in. She definitely has enough.
Well, to see the falsies.
Enough meat there.
The falsies are for, you know, to lift up and produce, you know, take all that sagging flesh and push it up into the cleavage area. Mm-hmm.
Fullness, you might say.
No, never mind. False alarm.
Well, the female television reviewer for the New York Post also noticed, in addition to the falsies, a big zit on the corner of Kathy Lee's mouth, and noticed that Kathy Lee wasn't wearing her oversized wedding ring. The paper said all of this in a review of Kathy Lee's upcoming primetime special, Surprise, Surprise, Surprise. It's based on a British show that's kind of like Candid Camera. The paper didn't like the Kathy C version, which Kathy is hoping will become a weekly series on CBS.
Ah, that ambition. Well, of course, as she said in McCall's magazine, which I happen to read.
Uh-huh.
Did you really?
I subscribe. And it said in McCall's magazine that she said that thing about GIF.
Right.
But the rest of the article is just a complete Red Book-style suck-up piece.
Oh, the kiss her butt.
For Kathy Lee, where they talk about the the biggest heart in Hollywood.
Mm. And, please.
And what she's done and the amount of money she's given to charity. Of course, they mention the fact that that money is because of all the books and all the little side projects that she does, which also helps Kathy Lee's career.
Well, Kathy Mee GIF is also making her Broadway debut this fall, replacing Carol Burnett in a show called Putting It Together.
Can I tell you something about this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is going to be it. This is going to be the worst thing that's ever happened to
her. This is
going to
be when people really finally see that she can't sing.
This is where her lack of talent, you can't fake it. That's the one place you cannot fake it, and this is where she's really going to hit bottom.
Well, actually, she'll just replace Carol one night a week.
One
night a week is enough to get, she will pull out of the show because the reviews will be so horrible.
And that night is Tuesday, where she can do the least damage. Like most shows on Broadway, this is another recycled one. This one originally played 6 years ago with Julie Andrews. And from our Why Didn't Anybody Think of This Before department, a couple of big investors stood up at the Playboy stockholders meeting yesterday with two very important questions.
How come Aubrey is not in this month's issue?
Mm-hmm. No, the question.
And how come my wife called to make me stop looking at those pictures? Were those the two questions?
No, the questions were, what the heck does Hugh Hefner actually do for this company, and why does he make nearly $869,000 a year for it? Especially since the last stockholders meeting Hefner attended was in 1987. Hefner's daughter.
Well, he's half, baby. Come on.
He's half. He is
exactly.
Playboy.
That's and that's
it's
what
his magazine.
That's,
man.
That's what his daughter Christy said when she jumped to Daddy's defense. She explained that he's not just the editor in chief. He's, quote, involved in the kind of promotional sizzle that attracts the likes of Leonardo DiCaprio and Cameron Diaz. Quoting her, Playboy was founded on his lifestyle.
Has Diaz ever been naked in Playboy?
No, but she hangs out at the Playboy mansion all the time. They party there. And the
you
magazine.
Know, you know who's got seriously an inside track to the Playboy mansion is Dick Van Patten.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah, he spends a lot of time there. No kidding. He really does.
He has told us on more than one occasion that he would take us there.
You know what? When we go, I mean this. Rob, write this down, please. And I mean this. Not like when I tell you write something down and you just do that fakey thing where you pretend to write it down. Really, when we go to California in September to be on the King of Queens show, we really should write down to remember to have Dick Van Patten take us to the Playboy Mansion.
Here, here. Bravo, bully! Yay, bully! 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 Bully.
Right. Yeah, hello, Rob. It's Dick Van Patten. I get back next Saturday night.
Who's this, from Donkey Basketball?
The 19th, I guess, right? The 20th. So I guess I could see you today, guys, then, on the 20th.
Oh, this is from last year.
I'll leave again on Monday. Okay, let me know how we can work this out. I go back to Salt Lake City tomorrow, but I'll be home today. Bye-bye now.
He was, as you can tell, he was very excited about us coming to his house.
Hi, Rob. This is Dick Van Patten.
But when we left his house, he was a happy camper.
Yeah, sure. Very happy, yes. Maybe he'll take us to the Playboy Mansion. That would be outstanding.
Yeah, hello, Rob. It's Dick Van Patten.
Okay, hold on. Time out, Buzz.
Yes.
We've got to do another break, and then we'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It's another Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show. Don't miss out on the legendary fun and the top-notch adult entertainment. Here's Timmy Obibone to tell you more.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas-style show is Hagerstown bound. Tomorrow at 8 p.m. at Barracuda's.
Barracuda's
in the Ramada Inn at 901 Doyle Highway. Admission is free, but you must be 21 to get it. Call 301-745-3021 for information or directions. Be there or be square.
The Don and Mike Las Vegas style show.
There'll be lots of naked chicks.
Don't miss it.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
They'll be over here if you need them. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
Hello, Michael J. Elston.
Hi, Don and Mike. If you're lucky enough to attend the prestigious Wesleyan University in Connecticut, be sure to enroll in the course known as College of Letters 289.
First radio station I ever was on, ever, ever, ever.
Well, they're teaching a course.
WESU.
Was it the College of Wesley Crusher?
It was this tiny little college, and they had a radio station in this creepy guy asked me if I wanted to go on the station.
Well, they also have a
Did
course.
He touch you?
Yes.
Touch skin?
many times. He said he was just, he said, get my keys. And then it was horrible.
And then Mike pursued a career in radio.
Yeah, because I like the experience.
That's also the school where now they examine pornography as a cultural and political practice. The reading assignments include the Marquis de Sade, the father of sadomasochism, and also they review Hustler magazine. The course may not last long now that it's getting this kind of publicity. Some say the publicity is why the university's presidents put out a memo questioning the appropriateness of this course.
I'd like to thank everybody for letting me be your guest lecturer.
One student turned in a video in which she acted out a scene of sexual bondage. Another did a project in which he focused on the eyes of a man who was masturbating.
Okay, so you're in a wheelchair and girls pee in your magazine.
I think it's erotic.
Jose Lopez is happy about losing one of his feet since he had three to start with. When Jose was
Me
born...
Me gusta arrastrar mi suelo.
Oh, that was the least of his problems. He was born with a third foot that stuck out of his left ankle. Oh. It had a fully developed ankle of its own.
Give him a Fox TV show.
A heel and four toes. Mm-hmm. In his 33 years on the planet, Jose spent most of his life hiding the extra foot. He did this by cutting away part of his shoe and wearing baggy pants, like, bell bottoms, to cover the spare foot.
I need to hide my foot.
A surgeon has now removed the third foot at no cost to Jose. And Jose says he will now go out and buy his first pair of boots.
Oh. Buzz for yes. Jose.
Mm-hmm. I'm good in bed. Soy bueno en la cama.
Again?
Yes, please.
I'm good in bed. Soy bueno en la cama.
Let's hear one more, shall we?
Yes. Yeah, let's do.
You're a great lay. Eres una buen coge.
You're a great lay.
You're a great lay. Eres una buen coque.
That's all the time we have for the Spanish lesson today. Oh,
bueno. Hey, just when you think you have the ultimate video game, they come out with another version that's not compatible with the one at your house.
Something about better than PlayStation?
Yes, the one you've invested so much money in for game cartridges. Not this Christmas, but next. In the year 2000, Nintendo's coming out with a new system. It got some help on this from IBM and Matsushita. They're the people who make Panasonic stuff. Now, they say this Dolphin system, is what it's being called, will be faster, more powerful, and less expensive than other systems. Where have we heard that before?
Flipper.
It comes with a 400 megahertz computer, a DVD drive, and a 3D chip, if that means anything to you. And did I mention there are a lot of strange people out there? In Yorktown, Virginia, a guy keeps going into stores and stealing all of their copies of the movie A Bug's Life.
What?
Yes, it's true, Rudy. In a drugstore, he got 15 copies of the cartoon, ignoring all the other tapes for sale. About 10 days ago, he took the entire display for A Bug's Life out of another store.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Police say they don't know the guy or the reason he's doing this.
Hey, Mike, you're really coming along.
Thanks, Rudy. Hey, Mouse, it's going to be hot.
And have you seen the new Nike commercial that has Spike Lee saying, another shameless attempt by Nike to sell sneakers?
The Washington Post says that line was originally supposed to have been spoken by consumer advocate Ralph Nader. At least that's what Nike was hoping in the beginning. But the paper says Nike got a very firm no from Nader in spite of the $25,000 he had offered him. Nike says Nader also didn't like being referred to by his... Yes, very firm, like that.
No way.
Nike says Nader also didn't like being referred to by his first name, which he was in the letter he got from Nike. And that brings us up to sports.
Thank you, Buster. You know who they should have got for that commercial?
Who?
Jack Cassidy. Hi, I'm Jack Cassidy. You might have remembered me. I'm Columbo.
Yes, sir.
There's the Toe Tap and Touch Tones. It's time for a caller 100 at 1-800-636-1067.
I'm the mystery writer who committed the perfect crime by eliminating my ex-partner and then generously offered to help Columbo solve the murder. I'm Jack Cassidy.
Caller 100 right now. She has to win $5,000. Got it if you call her 100.
This is the Dawn and Mike Show.